The reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14, and you'll find that on page 990 of the Church Bibles. So it's Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14, the parable of the wedding banquet. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who'd been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who've been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'"
So my microphone on. Good morning. My name's Dave. I'm part of the ministry team here. If there's anything that we talk about this morning that you'd love to talk about further, I'd love to have that conversation with you to chat and pray through anything that we've seen in this passage this morning. Let me pray for us and then we'll dive on in. Father, it says in your word, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Father, please make us attentive to what the Holy Spirit says. Give us ears to hear your voice. And may this word not be met with hardness of hearts in us, but with repentance and with joy as we have the privilege of sitting with your voice ringing in our ears this morning. And we pray that for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, this morning we carry on with Matthew's Gospel, not too much left of it now. This morning our title is Jesus Invites You. Jesus Invites You. We've all had the situation, I'm sure, you open the invitation and then you check your diary and it turns out you're available. But then doubt rises and you ask yourself, what if a better offer comes along? And so out of fear of missing out, you don't commit to the invitation. FOMO has been characterized as a new trait, but I don't think it's anything particularly new. People have always been inclined to hedge their bets, to keep their options open. And from the invitee's perspective, it seems fine, really. Although we've all also been on the inviter's end of that too, haven't we? We plead RSVP, but it doesn't always come. And on both sides of the invite and the receiving the invitation, it's heart-revealing, isn't it? What is it that's going on in us? Why do we want to come to this thing? Why do we not want to commit to something else? Now, the weight of the decision in front of us depends somewhat on the invite itself, doesn't it? Some random event on Facebook that you're invited to? Well, meh, we'll see. A farewell for an acquaintance? Well, it might depend more on who else is going to be there. Recently, we celebrated my gran's 90th birthday. It was made clear that this was non-negotiable. We had to be there, and rightly so. The importance of the occasion also helps you to think about whether to be there early or fashionably late, whether to bring a gift, and what the dress code is. Here in Matthew 22, we find Jesus' parable about someone inviting people to come to an event. In particular, a king inviting guests to come to his son's wedding banquet. Now, we know a royal wedding is a big occasion, whether for you it was Harry and Meghan in 2018 or Will and Kate in 2011. I don't remember Charles and Diana's wedding. I was 2 years old at the time. But it sat in collective memory of the nation in my childhood. That had been a big deal. Here is Jesus talking about a royal wedding. It's Holy Week. It's Good Friday looming large. And he tells the last of these 10, the kingdom of heaven is like parables that Matthew records in his gospel. This case, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son, says verse 2. And now the first 10 verses of this, they're similar to a parable recorded in Luke chapter 14 about a man who invites guests to a great banquet and then is met by various excuses from people. And so famously, he sends to the highways and hedges to compel them to come in that my house may be filled. There are three key differences this time Jesus tells this kind of story. First, fittingly, with Matthew's emphasis on the kingdom of God, this is a royal banquet for the king's son. Second, there's a little less detail on the excuses that are given. And then thirdly, in verses 11 to 13, there's a whole new section about someone who got into the banquet and then got kicked out. If we only had those first 10 verses, it would tell the same story as Luke, really. It would nicely echo Jesus' magnificent invitation earlier in Matthew's gospel that all who are weary and need rest should come to him. And yet Matthew includes these extra few verses at the end that pack the punch of the parable, as we'll see. And then it wraps up with this concluding statement in verse 14. Many are invited, but few are chosen. That's not really a statement about numbers or to create a conflict in our minds between what it means to be invited or what it means to be chosen. Rather, it conveys the breadth of the invite. There's an open-handed generosity here. Many are invited. And yet with Jesus' teaching on the narrow path and the narrow gate, well, despite the king's bounty, not everybody is prepared to come in. And we'll see that as we look at it now. Two things really just to guide our thinking here. Firstly, we'll see that Jesus' invite is radically inclusive. Jesus' invite is radically inclusive. Notice here, the king is bursting with joy about the wedding of his son. So he wants the banquet to be buzzing with people, filled with guests, he says. We must have it filled with guests. And yet not everyone wants to come. Not everyone shares in the king's joy. Undeterred, he calls for the good and the bad alike to be invited. There's going to be a party one way or another. And so he says, verse 9, invite to the banquet anyone you find. Make room for more people, and then for more people. And so his servants go out in verse 10, and they gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Do you feel the lavishness of this? The generosity of the invite? Anyone. All the people they could find. You sense the delight in the occasion? The father's joy at his son's marriage. He's a proud dad. How much more does our Father in heaven fling wide his arms? In his royal bounty, many will come and enjoy the kingly wedding supper. The parable gives us a foretaste of the final page of the Bible that describes the wedding supper of the Lamb, of Jesus and his bride, the church. And we see in the conclusion of this parable in verse 14 that many are invited. And as we first look at it, it seems that many are chosen too. Many take their seat at the banqueting table. Many share in the festivities. There's good news here. You are invited if you accepted the invitation. Perhaps often you find yourself feeling like an outsider socially. There's all those occasions that you didn't get invited to the party. Well, not so with Jesus. Not so with Jesus. No, he invites you. So will you let this invitation stoke your joy, fuel your longings and your priorities? Don't live for a nice house and a successful career. Don't live for your kids' achievements. Don't live to be popular and to be seen at all the right events. Don't live for cheap thrills, for things that won't last, that are just distortions of God's good world. And don't let the monotony of life dull your senses so that this all just seems too good to be true. Now, instead, might we live a life that only makes sense because we're living for the Son's wedding supper? A life that's preparing for that. You raise your kids to be ready for that. To give up on sin that would distract you from that. To speak up and spur one another on to live for that day. Because this is the room you want to be in. That's the stage you want to see. This banquet is the joy that you can't live without. And the hall must be filled. The king wants the place to be packed out. So why assume that wouldn't include you and your neighbour and your colleague and your friend? The king is happy for them to come. There's nothing about them that means they can't come or that this won't be for them. So don't say no for other people. This banquet is too good to be missed. Now notice this parable says a little bit about the food. There's nothing really about the music or the decorations, although I'm sure they'll be exquisite. But weddings aren't really about any of those things. Now, this is about the king's son and his bride. That's what makes this event unmissable. That's why the father is so joyful. So say yes to the invitation. And if, having said yes, then you're looking for something to do, well, then get on your knees and pray. Ask that he would send out more people to invite more people in to share in this. Pray for the people that you know, that they would hear the invitation. Pray for our national and global mission partners and the people they have contact with, that they would articulate the king's invitation to those that they meet as well. Because the party of all parties is coming at the end of the world. And with open arms, the king here, our Father in heaven, has invited you. Are you going to come? Jesus is radically inclusive. That's the first thing for us to catch this morning. But the other side of that is this, that Jesus' invite is necessarily exclusive. It's necessarily exclusive. As we've walked our way through Matthew's gospel, we've seen Jesus' parables are, they always come with a sting in the tail. They're designed to expose the heart. They're never just nice stories, though they are often nice stories. They tell of the grace of God with vivid metaphors and images, and they speak to warn of the judgment to come. And it's no different here. I think we see it described in two different ways in this parable. First are outsiders who refuse to come to the wedding banquet. First century custom was to issue an initial invite, then to go and prepare all the food, and when the dinner was ready, to communicate again to those who've been invited. My dinner is ready, says the king. And so the king sends his servants to all those who've been invited, in verse 3. Tell them to come. But they refused to come. In this parable of eternal realities, eternal life is being in the royal son's wedding banquet. And there is judgment for refusing to come. We see here the king goes out in strong terms to enact vengeance on those who wouldn't accept his words, who rejected his invitation, who wouldn't come and celebrate the marriage of his son. Will everyone be saved? Well, scripture here and our own experience tell us that not everyone who's invited wants to come. And that seems bewildering for the Christian whose eyes have been graciously opened by God, who see the prospect of an eternity celebrating with Jesus and can't imagine anything better in this world than that. And yet, tragically, we know there are very many who hear the good news of Jesus and do not want to celebrate with him. They refuse. And on that basis, in verse 8, they're counted as those who did not really deserve to come in the first place. They had an invite, and then they had many subsequent opportunities to take the invitation seriously, but in the end, following refusal after refusal and then outright opposition to the king's messengers here, finally, in verse 7, the king destroyed those murderers and burned their city. That's a way of describing the final day of judgment to come. It's not yet today. Today is the day of God's patience, when his invitations are still being issued. But that day will not always be today. There's a warning here. Secondly, there's those who are in some sense insiders, but are inappropriately dressed for the occasion. This is the challenge that Matthew includes that Luke doesn't report. It's particularly addressed to the people of Israel in Jesus' day, those who've heard much and they've not trusted in him. As they hear, then in this sense, they are insiders, and yet they're being found out by his good news as they hear it. This parable's happening in real time. They're right in the middle of the action it's describing. Through the good news of Jesus, some of Jesus' listeners are being exposed as to all intents and purposes. They're part of the people of God. They're guests at the wedding. And yet the word of the king is finding them out. They're wedding crashers, freeloaders. They're in it for the stuff, for the sense of occasion. But they've got no affection for the king or his son. Now, don't think here that those inappropriately dressed are bad Christians who are going to get found out. It's not unusual for us to imagine ourselves in that way, but no Christian will be thrown out, because there's no Christian who is not clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We can say that all Christians are bad Christians, really. We all fall short of Christ, and we're only ever Christian because Jesus saved us and keeps us. You can see the distinction here. When the wedding crasher is thrown out, he's speechless. He's thrown out with no defense. The Christian pleads the blood of Jesus. We have a sure defense that we can make. Still today it's true, isn't it? Many frequent church but miss the one who is center stage. And if that's you here this morning, if that might be you, well, we're really glad that you're with us. Perhaps you're growing up in church, you're coming here, but you've never really personally engaged with who Jesus is. Or perhaps you think you're okay, but in reality, Christianity is just habits and culture for you rather than something that's personal. Well, right now, the righteousness of Jesus is offered to you. Figuratively speaking, he has pure white garments to cover all of your shame. His good news is medicine for your wounds, hope for you in your despair, rest in your weariness, and forgiveness for your sin. What does it mean to be appropriately dressed? To have been clothed by Christ means that when God the Father turns his eye to you, he sees his Son and he treats you as such. So trust him. And the words of verse 13 will not apply to you. And yet, if you continue to refuse his invitation, if you want to eat his food but disregard his son, then a terrible future awaits you. As in the parable in verse 13, it said, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the same bleak language Jesus has used to speak of divine judgment for those who reject him and his good news back in chapter 8 and in chapter 13. And he'll use it again in chapter 24 and 25. Jesus speaks a lot about judgment that's to come. And we can't speak lightly about these things. It's a matter of anguish and of sorrow. And I wouldn't pretend to know your heart, but the king does. He sees those who care nothing for his son. And Jesus tells this parable as a warning and as a wake-up call to those who think they're okay because they trust in themselves when they're not really. In the end, if you will not have Jesus, then you won't get him. But he's not just an option on a multiple choice test. He's not just a possible way to live. This isn't even just about a destination at the end of life. It's about a person. Jesus is the center of all life and light and love in this creation. And so to reject him is to be cast out into the dark and to face an eternity of judgment when an eternity of joy can be yours? Why would you do that? So instead, listen. Jesus makes his invitation to you in his good news. And this news is radically inclusive because he is so inclusive. His amazing grace doesn't look at how you live, whether you're good or bad. His invitation gets made to you. Because like the king in this parable, our Father in heaven wants to clothe any who will come and to fill his banqueting hall with any who will come and celebrate the wedding of his son. So whatever you've done, whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever anyone else thinks of you, if you will have Jesus, if you will celebrate the one who died to bear the judgment you deserve and to make you part of his bride, the church, then he's yours. You see, this news is personal. It's centered on Jesus himself. So we ask our questions about him. We come together and we fix our attention on him. And we look forward to gathering at his banqueting table. Let me give you a moment of quiet just to reflect on the things we've seen this morning. Keep God's word open in front of you as you do that. As we do that, if those who are going to be serving the Lord's Supper this morning can come forward, that'd be really helpful.